It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So during the week, we've been talking about heaven and hell, death and resurrection and the other side and all of those things this week, Pastor. Now I would like to know, what do we do then now that we have learned all of these things about the other side, if there is another side and all of that? What is our responsibility now?
Well, our responsibility, having established that there is a heaven to gain, and eternal death to shun away from, we ought to align ourselves according to the will of God and accept the gift of salvation that He has given to us through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. And one of the passages that just hits my mind each time I begin to reflect on what we should be doing right now as we wait for the coming of Jesus is seeking after the Lord. That is in Isaiah, seeking after the Lord while He can be found. That's Isaiah chapter 55, seeking after the Lord while He can be found. And that has the idea of confessing our sins, repenting, and then turning to do what is right, or remaining steadfast in doing what is right.
You know, these verses, Pastor, they worry me, because there is yet another one that says, His ear is not too heavy that it will not hear you. Now, the one you're quoting in Isaiah says, seek Him while He may be found. These verses imply different or somewhat contradictory principles. Is there going to be a time when we're going to be seeking God and He will not be found? Is there going to be a time when we're going to be praying and He will not be listening? His hand is going to be too short to reach us.
Well, viewing those passages within the immediate situation, well, of course, we can pick some principles that we can learn from those passages, but really looking at them from the immediate situation where God is talking to His people, the children of Israel, how they have been disobedient, how they have turned their backs on Him, and the prophet comes with a message of reassurance that you can still come back to Him, you can still repent, and you can still have the favor of the Lord. And the reason as to why you are in this current situation, it is not because that God has failed, but it's because you have turned your backs away from Him.
Oh, wow.
So using the prophet is using some poetic language as he communicates the message, just to get people's attention that, well, God can be reached while you still have an opportunity to get back to Him. You can do that.
So when will we know that our opportunity is past? It's gone. It's no longer there.
Our opportunity for salvation.
Yes.
How do we know that? Well, I may not really have an answer to that question, but what we should be doing right now is seeking for that salvation, because we do not know when we will lose that. Of course, we can learn from the Bible when probation closes, and we just don't know, okay? But what we can be doing right now is seeking after that salvation that is free for us, because what we know is that, well, one particular time, this grace that pleads for men will plead for sinners no more. This grace that pleads for sinners will not be there one time. At one particular time, God say, well, let he that is filthy remain filthy still. That time will come. So what we should be doing right now is putting our lives according to the will of God, placing ourselves in a position where the Lord can reach us for His kingdom.
So, again, is it possible that we could be still within? I had a conversation with another pastor before I spoke to you, Pastor Duplessis, about these possibilities. When you're saying, seek ye first, There is really no guarantee that you will find, is there? Because not everyone who seeks finds. Is it guaranteed that when you seek, you will find?
If God calls us to seek Him, and if we seek Him diligently, if we seek Him diligently, He can be found. We can find.
I ask this, Pastor, because the verse says, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But we then find people who believe it has been opened and they have found. Some churches say, actually, you're lost. And we find so many denominations, over 3,000 denominations in the world, and you wonder, which one is lost? Is it possible that whilst we are thinking we have sought and found, we are still lost?
Okay. Well, just as you have mentioned, there are different people around the world that believe in different things. And what really I think is that the filter that people use in trying to understand the plan of salvation as it is revealed in the Bible. We have the same scriptures, and God has revealed Himself through His Word. He has revealed His plan of salvation to save humanity. But the filter that men use in understanding the plan of God for humanity using the scriptures is what is different. The filter that we may use, or the principles that we may use in trying to understand God's plan of salvation to save humanity, may be different with other people that read the Bible, how God saves humanity, which is really an important subject as is seen in the Bible. Because you read in the Bible, you find one of the key things that the devil does not want mankind to understand is how they can be saved. How can I be saved? That is one theme that runs through the scriptures, and the devil does not want us to know how we can be saved. But that question has been answered in the scriptures. We read, we find the Lord teaching on how man can be saved, though in different settings.
So you correctly said that different people believe in different things, but that doesn't answer whether we can know whether we are lost, because we also are believing differently. How do we tell, out of all the various belief systems, that whichever we have found is the right one, and therefore we are found?
Okay, the more healthy, a more healthy situation is being open to learn. For me, that is one thing that I believe should be a healthy situation. Being open to learn. Being accessible, to being teachable, to learn from other people. But as far as we are concerned, I believe that what we have received from the Lord in His Word is sufficient for us to know that we are on the right path, to know that we believe in a sure hope, that we are not lost, and we are on the right path. Yes, we may fall, we may drop, we may lose it a bit, we may wander away from Him, but we can be assured that if we stick to what He has told us to do, we are on the right track.
I'm not sure if I am not asking this question correctly, Mfundis. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a movement of people who believed in a variety of belief systems before 1844. Long even before 1843, 42, 40, there was no Seventh-day Adventist Church before William Miller and his group. These all believed that they were found because they believed in the Methodist Church of John Wesley and his brother. Others believed in the Lutheran Church, believing in his 95 Theses. Others believed in the Calvinist Church. And the list goes on. In the Baptist Church, the list really goes on. At the time, they thought they were in the right faith. They thought they had found the right thing. Even the Millerites themselves thought they found the right thing up until they were disappointed in 1843 and then later 1844. Hence my question, if we know that there are times and epochs in history where we realize that we were wrong as mankind in what we believed in, how do we know that if we were wrong then, we are still not wrong now?
Okay, what has happened in the past definitely should inform our decisions and our choices today, because history is to shape the future. I believe that the people in the past, way before the Seventh-day Adventist Church got to where it is today, I believe God revealed to them what was sufficient for them to accept, to have salvation, what was enough for them to be saved. And truth to be told, those men, the Zwingli, the Martin Luther, laid a foundation upon which today we have accepted as sound biblical teachings today, which play a key role in our belief system even today. So I believe even that particular time, God revealed what was right for them to know, what was necessary for them to know and to have salvation. Okay. What we should be aware of course, is that we should have, just as I mentioned, a healthy situation is, whilst we believe in what we have, which we know to say this is based on the Bible, based on a sound interpretation of the scriptures, a health more condition is being open to learn, not being closed, being open to learn from other people as God is still speaking. Okay, but we should not lose that good thing that we already have, that which God has revealed to each one of us. And by the way, each of these, for example, give an example, maybe just to just sample on one, the Lutherans. Okay, Martin Luther came with a powerful, sound teaching on justification by faith. But what happened in the future after their leader died? The church still remains with that solid teaching, just one solid teaching. They just stopped where their leader stopped, just right there. But if you look at the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, what makes it unique is that it has, to me, it has a package of the everlasting gospel. The whole thing it has. Teachings about justification, which it has adopted as a sound doctrine from Martin Luther's teaching. Sound teachings. Talk about the Anabaptists. They brought the right teaching concerning baptism. And as a church, we have adopted that as a sound teaching based on the scripture. So, Seventh Adventist is blessed in that it has complete package of the gospel.
Right now, yes. Mfundisi, we have a plethora of denominations. All yes. of them believe that they've found the truth.
Yes.
Their adherents believe that they've found the truth. We believe we have found the truth.
Yes.
Who is right? Who is wrong?
I may not say who's right, who's wrong, but I will not say they are wrong, and I will not say we are in a position to judge them. They are wrong. The best thing we can do, if we see this something that we ought to teach. I still go back to the point that I've said. If we are going to have an attitude where we get to a point where we see we are absolutely right, we have the truth, but if we do not have a teachable spirit, an open heart that can learn from other people, then that becomes a problem. Whilst we may have the whole truth, we may have the truth that is that may be unique even to the church, we should have that open heart. Mind, Jesus also says, I have a lot of sheep that are out there, and when they hear my voice, they will come into the fold. So are we right or wrong? I may not really point out to say they are wrong, but I'm sure of what we believe in, that we are on the right track if we remain faithful to what the Lord has given to us.
Logically speaking, Funisi, if you believe you're on the right track, you will not listen to somebody else teaching you something else, because you've already taken a decision that yours is right. So I'm not quite sure where the open, teachable spirit comes in if you already have taken a decision that you are on the right track.
Well, it's not really, it's being certain with what you've believed, because what I believe in, I have read it, I have proved it with the scriptures, it is in line with the scriptures, I have a personal encounter with what I've read, I have a personal encounter with Christ, and so but again, that same encounter should put me in a position to be able to continue to learn. Okay, yes, I believe in what I believe, I know it, and I'm sure about it, but that should not close my mind to be able to be open to what God is still speaking, because God is ever speaking.
You're going to be open to listen to somebody you know, you have studied, you have had an encounter, and you're now certain is wrong. You're going to be open to listening to somebody you have already taken a decision that they are wrong and you are right.
They may be wrong in some doctrinal position. Okay, they may be wrong in some doctrinal position, but a more healthy situation would be, well, you learn how far they are. Because if you know what they believe in, you know their maybe theological error that they are in, it would be a better platform for you to notice, oh, okay, this is how far they have gone. You are able to pinpoint where the problem is.
How? How, Pastor? How
do you... And much more listening does not mean being converted to them. Okay, so if you know to say, okay, this denomination, this is where they miss it. This is where they miss it. Well, you listen. But if they are also open to learn from you, you can share. Yeah.
What if they hold the same position you hold, that they have studied the word and their doctrinal positions are in line with the word and you are lost?
A more healthy situation is going back. If they claim that I'm lost, and my position has been debunked, that it is wrong, well, I've heard, I'll go and test it with the scriptures. I'll check, I'll read, I'll consult, I'll ask from people who have read. Of course, we keep on learning from one another. So if someone comes up to me and says, well, Pastor, this position you hold is not biblical. It is not based on a clear, sound, biblical interpretation of the scriptures. Well, I say, well, like the Bereans, I'll go back to my scriptures and verify, test everything. For me, that is a healthy situation that I would take, yeah.
Have you?
Taking that position?
Yes, Pastor. Have you gone back to reconsider your position? I ask this because you're already a pastor. You studied, and now you're a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I found it very difficult to believe that you would go back and reconsider whether your choice, after 4 years of schooling, and now you're a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, I find it very difficult that you'd ever say, I don't want to be employed by these guys anymore because they're wrong. It doesn't really logically follow, Pastor. Have you really gone back to reconsider whether your doctrinal positions are correct?
Well, the journey starts way, way back. The journey starts way back. it's really important to evaluate, to read, to understand. Of course, you may have certain questions, you may have certain a lot of questions that may hit your mind. And I have checked, I have studied, and as far as I'm concerned, I can affirm that what we hold is based on a clear interpretation of the Bible, as far as I am concerned.
Okay, I want to read some text messages for you, Pastor, before we close our conversation. One says, I say yes, there will be a time God will not be able to be reached. And this person quotes, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Your response to that?
Say that one again. He says, there shall be a time when...
This person says, yes, I say yes. This is what the text message reads. I say yes, there will be a time God will not be able to be reached, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And that's found in Jeremiah 29:13 in the KJV. Your response, Pastor?
Okay, so the principle behind the text is really that there is a time God has given for mankind. The immediate situation is that, well, Israel has had their privilege in receiving the messages from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah has demonstrated his message even through his body, demonstrating that Israel, if they don't repent, they're going to go into captivity. So then, if they do not listen to God within the period he has given them to hearken to his voice, there will be a time when they will go into captivity because of their disobedience. But the interesting part with the immediate situation with Jeremiah is that even while they are in captivity, if they repent, God will still hear their voice. But what is the principle we can pick from that? Viewing it in an eschatological perspective, viewing it in that sense, will there be a time when we will seek, will there be a time when mankind will long for forgiveness and that period will be gone? Yeah, that time is coming. Will there be a time when man will plead? Will grace cease to plead for sinners no more? That time is coming.
Okay.
That time is coming.
All right. Pastor, thank you very much. We really appreciate your insights. Appreciate you coming through to talk to us. God bless you for your ministry, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.